Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, and should more aptly be named Racing Around the Globe, because as you can see in the split screen, we've been showing this morning some of the races from the Saudi Cup card. We will continue doing that as the morning progresses, and then the highlight will be just after 12:30, $20 million Saudi Cup itself. A little bit later this afternoon, though, as pertains to the Racing Across America portion, Oaklawn has a big card highlighted by the Rebel. We'll be joined a little bit later on by Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn to get some thoughts on that card. But as far as the international action, reached out to our friend Dick Powell. Dick did the morning line for the Saudi Cup, so I thought who better to get some thoughts on Saudi action from than Dick. Dick, good morning.
Seth, good morning. Not only did I do the morning line, I did all the selections that are on the Hong Kong Jockey Club.
Ah, very good. So we'll get
Those are posted, and I've had the last three morning line favorites. When you do the morning line, the biggest thing is to get the favorite right. The price is much less relevant. So I've had the last three favorites. This next race, Subjectivist, will be the favorite. So, yeah.
I was going to ask you. What is the process? And to me, these international days are probably some of the toughest to make morning lines for, because you have horses coming in from different venues, and you also have to factor in, you're looking at world pools and how you know, normally a racetrack here in America, you're looking at your bettors that you're familiar with day in and day out, but you're kind of trying to foresee bettors from all across the globe, as it were.
Well, these races are part of the World Pool, which is hosted by Hong Kong. So I would think a predominant amount of the money in the pool will be coming from Hong Kong.
Okay.
So there's no Hong Kong horses in the race, but there are Japanese horses.
Yeah.
So my guess is the Japanese horses will get that pretty heavily. And we saw that in the last race with Songline. She was a heavy favorite. And I had to take that into account when I was doing it. The other challenge is when you do a morning line, if I'm doing Aqueduct, first thing I'm looking at is what odds has the horse been going off at?
Yeah.
You know, if the horse was 20-1 last time and ran fifth, he's probably going to be right around 20-1 this time. Well, I don't have that with these horses. A few of them I do, but the rest, there's no prices in the past performances. So that's where the guessing game
is. I hadn't even thought, as I'm looking, you're talking, yeah, the Saudi races or the Dubai races aren't going to give you that kind of, thought about that. That's interesting.
Even the British races, because all that's bookmaking.
Oh, right.
The French races, you get odds. British races, you don't. It's a big jumble, and you try to put all the pieces together and from there.
As you say, you're going gangbusters so far, so we'll see. I'll remind people, if you are looking at the races, I always like to remind people on international days, the horse number and the post position don't correspond, so look on the PPs to find the post position number, which is going to typically be different than the saddle number. And I'll also note you can get free PPs over on the Daily Racing Form, and they have them listed in post position order, not numerical order. So that might be helpful to people as well.
That's interesting.
And again, they're free PPs. They're right on the front page of the DRF if you want to print them up for the remainder of the card. Dick, before we get into, we'll kind of work our way back from the Saudi Cup, what did you think of the last race? I'm friendly with Lee Einsiedler. Oh, that was brutal. Casa Crete just comes up short.
Yeah, I had him as second choice. I picked him on top. I thought he'd be able to get there, and that Japanese horse went to the front, and it didn't look like the fastest pace, and Louis was just trapped three wide. Well, he was in between horses, then he had to tip out, but you have to go outside.
Yeah.
And then when you're out there, you're losing ground. He ran, I mean, he just ran spectacular. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was just a brutal beat. I thought as he came around the turn into the stretch, I thought he had the momentum, but oof. All right, let's start. As I say, we'll start with the Saudi Cup and work our way back to the race that's right around the corner here. Saudi Cup, again, will be about 12:30 our time, a little after that, $20 million up for grabs. While we talk, I pulled up the replay from the Malibu because we're going to see number six, Taba, get it done to complete his three-year-old season. He's over there for Bob Baffert this morning. Mike Smith scheduled to be on board. Frankie Dettori is on board Country Grammar for Bob Baffert. So a couple of known quantities from the United States. But what are your thoughts in the Saudi Cup?
I like Taber. I think he is just immensely talented. Didn't run bad behind Flightline, and he had a little trouble in that race. And his Malibu, I thought, was brilliant because he was between horses. Mike had to kind of nurse him along, and then when he had the clear path, he just pulled away very impressively. So now he's back to two turns. This is his distance. It's kind of a deepish track set. The last three runnings of the Saudi Cup have been 150 and change, 49 and change, 50 and change. You know, you would think a mile and eighth around one turn, they'd be going, you know, like a Belmont, 46, 47. So there is some give to this dirt track. It's not a firm, hard dirt track. So it's a little bit more of a test of stamina than I think a lot of people realize. And I think Taiba, who just keeps getting better and better and has the pedigree being my gun runner, I think he's the best of Bob's horses. Now, from the inside, you know, that they're going to have that run down the backstretch. Hopefully, Mike can get him into a nice pocket. He's going to be getting a lot of dirt in his face, and that could be a factor. But I think Tybe is just immensely talented, and I got him on top. I got Country Grammar second, who almost won the race last year. And I think he'll try to get a better timed move than last year. But he's interesting because he's a mile and a quarter horse. But this course might favor him because of what I just said about the track. So it's a little bit more demanding test. And he had a really good prep race for this race. Well, last year he didn't have a prep race for this race. So I like Baffert 1-2 in here. And then after that, the Japanese horse, Cafe Pharaoh, the one horse, Emblem Road, who was just sensational last year with the shocking upset at 100-something to 1. And then the other Japanese, June Lightning Bolt, number 6. But I think it's Baffert.
All right. I like it. And again, that'll go off about 12:30 our time, $20 million Saudi Cup. Just prior to that, we're looking at the Dirt Sprint. And again, there's a couple of Americans in here who are of interest. Elite Power, last seen in the Breeders' Cup sprint, winning that one. Bill Mott trains Frankie Dettori on board. I thought Gunite was interesting coming out of the win in the King Cotton. And coming out of that, they said, I think we're on to Saudi Arabia. Tyler Gaffleone set to be on board. I pulled up, however, a replay of last year's Dirt Sprint. And we're going to watch Dancing Prince get it done here. Dancing Prince is going to be in the yellow silks and is going to lead through the stretch. So, again, we have the defending champ in here as well. What are your thoughts in the Dirt Sprint?
Well, I like Gunite also. If you notice, when you have this kind of course, when you back up to 1,200 meters, 6 furlongs, it's a pretty short run into the first turn, because you have a big wide turn and then a long home stretch. So you don't have the long run into the first turn that you get in most six furlong sprints. So keep that in mind. Gunite drew, he's in the two, so he'll save ground. He has speed. I don't think he'll be a front runner. That Oaklawn race was very impressive. I know it was sloppy, but he put the blinkers back on, and Tyler gets aboard, who's ridden him in the past. Kind of a middle distance seven furlong type who now is going to try six, but I think the race fits him perfectly. So I got Gunite on top, and underneath him, I got papers all over the place. Where did I go? Dancing Prince, the defending champ, who, if he shakes loose, is going to be super tough. Now, last year was a big field. And when he shook loose, it was like a NASCAR race where you're in front and everyone else is bumping into each other. So I think the shorter field might give him a little more trouble. Elite Power, who will be flying at the end, but is probably going to have to go outside. And we'll see if outside, sometimes outside here is good, but he's going to have to lose ground. And then Maras, the six, is very fast. And the Japanese horse, Ryuno Yukina. But I do like Gunite on top, 4-1-2 as my top three picks here.
I like Gunite too. And you know, Steve Asmussen got his 10,000th career victory last weekend. And it just seems the last few years he has been loaded with really, really talented sprinters. And Gunite certainly is one of those as well.
But look at a horse like Nashville.
Yeah.
Who, you know, wins in 107 and change and finally won a stake, and he's off the stud. But I mean, he was as fast as a quarter horse.
So. Yeah, no, he's been loaded the past few years. All right, the sixth race, again, one race earlier. We're looking at the Saudi Derby. So the three-year-olds vying for $1.5 million. And we're going to take a look because Bob Baffert is sending one over. We're going to take a look at the San Vicente here. Having a Meltdown is going to score on the front end out at Santa Anita the end of January, and they elect to go from that Santa Anita start to Saudi Arabia. I thought My Map on the outside, 13 number, but also the 13 post position, I thought that horse could be interesting as well. But what are your thoughts on the Derby?
Seth, you must have been sitting next to me in class, right? I like My Map. I think he has a big, legitimate chance. I have a negative on having a Meltdown. Bob has all these three-year-olds, and yet this one has yet to be asked to go two turns.
Yeah.
So there seems to be maybe a little stamina question. I don't think this is the track to run on with the stamina question because I think it's a little bit more tiring than an American track. And that said, I also don't like his pedigrees. By Uncaptured, who's a stone cold sprinter out of a put it back mare. I mean, that's speed on speed. So I think he's over here because it's a big money race. And, you know, he does fit, but I don't know if he'll see out the entire distance of the race. So I like My Map. Four wins, two over the course. Now, if you look real close, those first two races, it says KKR instead of KAR. Kincaid race course is in Taif. He won up there by 10. He won by 7. Then back to King Abdulaziz, which where they're running now. He won by 2. And then the qualifier for this race, he just jogged. I mean, just won it impressively in good time. So I think My Map, Son of America, America Stallion, Liam's Map, bred in Kentucky. I think he has a big shot. And this rider, Addo Al-Faradi, is the leading rider in Saudi Arabia. So he obviously knows the course, the whole deal. So very well-connected horse. So I got My Map on top and Baffert second. Continuar, Japanese horse for third. And by the way, I do not have a single Japanese horse on top in the six big races today.
Yeah, as now, I was looking through the PPs, I thought, boy, they had about that year and a half where they were just the horses you had to look at in the international races.
Well, they won the turf sprint. They beat the Castle Creek, but I didn't pick any on top. I got them second. I got different ones in the money, but I got this one third, fourth, and fifth. So I got my map 13, 12, 8 as my top three in the Saudi Derby.
I like it. I don't know. I'll have to take a little shot with my map. Getting 7 pounds off his last race with the 121. All right, and this upcoming, let's give folks a little thought on this upcoming fifth race. It is the Red Sea Turf. My Frankel, the number nine, is interesting on the surface here, going to the turf. And what are we getting on the nine? 25-1. But I thought that one was intriguing to me a little bit. Subjectivist, the number one, is currently at 9-2 as the second choice. The seven, Silver Sonic, taking the action. I pulled up a replay, though. The horse that really attracted me, 19-1, number three, Enemy. We're going to take a look at a race in Dubai going back to January 6th. Enemy is going to be in blue silks, and you're going to see a striped cap, and Enemy is going to get it done here. Again, going back to January in Dubai. I thought he was a little intriguing, the number three horse in this race coming up at in Saudi Arabia. But what are your thoughts in the upcoming Red Sea Turf?
Well, I made Subjectivist the favorite, and clearly the Hong Kong money is showing here, because they're making Silver Sonic number seven, probably the best of the Japanese horses. They're making him favorite. So here I think that's where the Hong Kong money is really showing in the pools. Subjectivist was on a string of three monster races. He won the big race in France, the big turf marathon on pre-Royal Oak. Then he comes back in Dubai and just dominates the Dubai Gold Cup. Then he goes to Ascot, and he wins the Ascot Gold Cup by 5 lengths. I mean, that's one of the biggest staying races in the world, and he wins it by five. Then he gets hurt. He's had a tendon injury. Now, horses do not normally come back very well from tendon injuries, but he's had all this time. They've swam him. They've done various types of therapy on him. Charlie Johnson and his father, Mark, are superior horsemen. They've had all the time in the world to get this horse back, and this was what they pointed for. And he's one of these horses. I might not like him next time out or the time after that. But the first start off that long layoff might be the time to go. So I like Subjectivist. He's right now 5-1 in the betting. Underneath him was, I guess since we're working backwards, I got to go backwards. where did I go? There we go. Trollerman, who's the second choice in the betting. Now, the number two horse for John Gosden. Gosden already has a win tonight. He always shows up, and he won a Saudi Cup a couple of years ago. And Trollerman for Godolphin, 1-2 in Great Britain, third in the British Champions long distance race behind Trushan. And he just looks like he has a ton of form. You know he's fit. And Frankie is going to be the rider, so if Frankie wins, we should see the flying dismount. And underneath him is Echt, number 11 from Japan, son of rulership, dams by Deep Impact, big pedigree for stamina. Just missed last time out in January, so he gets a really good prep race going 1 3/8. This is 3,000 meters. This is three turns. They're going to start on the backstretch, come around once, and then make a full lap. So that said, it's kind of a galloper's race. You got to – it's not the easiest race to come from way behind. So hopefully Subjectivist can save some ground somewhere along the line and then see if he's back to his normal health. But the money's showing from Hong Kong on number seven, nice gray horse, Silver Sonic. But I like 1, 2, 11.
Very good. Dick, I said when we were planning the show, nobody better to reach out to as far as international racing than you. As I said, you did the morning line, and you said the picks as well over on the Hong Kong Jockey Club website, which is one of the better horse racing websites in the world, actually. But we appreciate picking your brain a little bit this morning, getting some ideas on these last four races on the Saudi Cup card. We'll let you go back and enjoy the action, and we'll talk again in the future.
All right, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Dick Powell, as I say, nobody better to talk to on international racing than Dick, and there's some good ideas for the remaining four races here on the card. We're about 3 minutes away from this upcoming fifth, which is the Red Sea Turf. Dick liking Subjectivist 5-1. Get a nice little price there. I thought Enemy was interesting, the number three. There were a couple other horses in there that were intriguing to me as well. Now, my Frankel, again, surface move is a little bit of a question mark on that one. But at 30-1, you're getting the right price to potentially have that question answered. Fun race, as are the remaining four this morning into this afternoon in Saudi Arabia. And again, it'll be about 12:30 when the big one goes off. This one's off, so we'll send it out to Saudi Arabia. Stay tuned.
He edges his way across. It was one of the most daring, dashing rides of the season. He looks likely to be swamped. Yep. The horse in grey, Alfred Boucher, is Enemy stablemate, trained by Ian Williams, and he goes at least a neck, half a length up. But Frankie's not given up, nor has Trawlerman. Under largely hands and heels driving, then a couple of love taps late, he nails Alfred on the line. So what you see about Trawlerman is that he's capable of adapting to unusual tactics, and that he digs in hard in a finish. And I think he's only had 10 runs, Rachel, and that's not a lot for a stayer.
Not for a five-year-old,
yeah,
no.
Absolutely possible that we haven't seen the best of him. And from what we saw with Mostadaf and what we've seen back at home at Lingfield today, Gosden has got his A and B team primed for the big money races.
Absolutely, and there's no jockey in the world right now riding better than Frankie. Going to California has been the adrenaline shot that he's needed to get his jockey hat back on. He is riding tactically astute. You can tell he's getting on horses he's never ridden before in these local races, and he's putting them in the best possible positions.
Enemy has been very well back to big prices. He's been back to bigger prices, 16, 18, down to 13, but perhaps shorter by now. So he is the springer in the market, and I get it completely. I really think he can run a nice race. Would you say this is, in terms of handicapping, this may be the tightest race of the night, and because it's the handicappers had a chance to judge the form, give the weights, and you know it really has the look of a race that five or six horses could win this, and you would not be surprised in any way.
No, exactly. And plus, there's a lot of questions in this particular contest: distance, surface, timeout. And I like how horse number 11 Echt that we just saw. Obviously, they have the go faster nose strips to help keep the nostrils open, a bit like a cross nose bit. But I love how X is the Japanese flag. That is quite class. But he's trained by Haruki Mori, who's the pioneer of Japanese
Agnes
trainers.
World.
Who can travel.
And look at the breeding. Talked about stallions before. Rulership, yep. Big Hong Kong connection. He won the QE2 Cup?
Yep.
In 2012, ridden by a pal of mine, Umberto Rispoli, rulership, high-quality Hong Kong connections, and a chance here with his son, Echt. They are going in one by one. It's a bit late now, but I'm going to go 3-2-7-6. Britain Enemy, Britain Trawlerman, Japan Silver Sonic, 6 Get Shirty. What have you got on top?
I've got 2-7-11-8. And let's go to Richard.
Karim Albert tends to go forward. So we break away Al Karim and Subjectivist from those wide out gates, immediately move forward. My Frankel and Trawlerman also handy. The grey Silver Sonic closer to the running rail with Nate the Great adopting a handy position, but it is Subjectivist gradually edging over, and the grey Silver Sonic for Japan who cut out the early running. Racing in third place, My Frankel with Trawlerman in the Godolphin Blue and Nate the Great. Then behind these Enemy, Al Karim cannot get in and can't get to the front either with Sisfahan. Master Gatsby is already four lengths off the back end, may have missed the break, with Get Shirty just ahead of him and Echt. Pin Your Hopes about four from the back, and Big Call likewise. So Subjective is back on the race course, bounding enthusiasm as he turns into the home straight for the first time. Leads by over a length from Trawlerman for Frankie Dettori in the Godolphin Blue, and the grey horse on the running rail, Silver Sonic for Japan. In fourth place, My Frankel in the red jacket, just ahead of in fifth Enemy. Then behind these, they have the German Derby winner, Sisfahan, who continues to race in sixth with Al Kahim racing in seventh place behind Al Karim. We have Big Call, who is towards the back of the field early on in company with Echt, Get Shirty. And last of all is My Frank, on the outside of My Frankel is Master Gatsby. So passing in front of us, Subjectivist has settled pretty well in front, leads by a length, Trawlerman in second place, as the leader just tries to get a breather, at least Joe Fanning does. I don't think the horse is that obliging. He is pleased to be back, and he leads Trawlerman away from the stands with Silver Sonic in third. My Frankel races in fourth place, with Enemy racing in fifth. Nate the Great is in sixth in the noseband, just ahead of Sisfahan, also nosebanded. Al Karim comes next from Pin Your Hopes, then behind these, Big Call, Get Shirty, Echt, and still last of all, but closer to the main body of the field, is Master Gatsby. So Subjectivist has led them through the first circuit, leads by nearly two lengths. Trawlerman, Frankie Dettori, not going to give him too much rope this afternoon. Racing in second place, just ahead of My Frankel, who's taken third from Silver Sonic, who's a neck away on the rails. Behind these, Enemy and Nate the Great fill the next two places with Al Karim. Sisfahan comes next with Pin Your Hopes, and Master Gatsby just passing a couple at the tail with Get Shirty and Echt, and Big Call is also in that rear group of five as well. So Subjectivist on the front end, what will he find in the closing stages? Leads by a length from racing in second place as they exit the back straight, Trawlerman. My Frankel on the outside of Silver Sonic. Enemy still travels strongly in fifth place on the inside of Nate the Great. Al Karim on the outside of Sisfahan, who makes ground up the inside. Master Gatsby continues to pick them off. Pin Your Hopes is taking a brave route as Subjectivist is now just asked to stretch as they make their way inside the final 600. Trawlerman pushed along. My Frankel up on the outside loom. Silver Sonic pulls out. Enemy for Ian Williams. Breaks cover with Richard Kingsgate. Improves quickly. On the inside running rail, Subjectivist has gone. It is Silver Sonic who leads. Down the outside comes Enemy. My Frankel next. Trawlerman. And on the inside, Big Call. Pin Your Hopes a bit short of room. 200 to travel. Enemy out after Silver Sonic, who still has the lead. It's a length and a half, and it's growing. Silver Sonic is about two lengths clear from Enemy. Get Shirty rattling home on the inside. Silver Sonic, Supersonic in the Long Jeans Red Sea handicap. Enemy second, Get Shirty may have grabbed third with Nate the Great involved as well with Big Call, Sisfahan, Pin Your Hopes, Trawlerman dropped away. Subjective is...
It's Japan again. Well done, Rachel. I know you liked Silver Sonic, and that was a silver flash late on. Ridden a bit closer to the pace than expected. This is an emphatic win, a big time, high quality, very valuable handicap, won by at least a couple of lengths. We thought Enemy would run well. He's run a screamer, very tight for third. It may be Get Shirty ahead of Big Call, but it is Japan beats Britain, beats Britain, beats France, I think. So here we go. We feared the worst for Subjectivist based on his appearance and body language, and you cannot pull as hard as he did in a big time staying race and hope to have petrol in the tank later on.
No, particularly coming off 18 months off the track and an injury. Trawlerman tracked him the entire way around. Frankie actually tried to go a bit early to try and cut off the charge of the winner, Silver Sonic, and My Frankel. And by trying to go and race ride with My Frankel, he just opened the door a little bit for Silver Sonic. And Damian Lane,
the boy from Bunbury.
I was gonna say, the wonder Aussie who's now making it in
Bunbury's in Perth.
I mean, he just took that and went. He was the jockey that we saw walking the course earlier with Oisin Murphy. It's helped for him, it didn't help with Oisin, and this will be an absolute confidence booster for him as he's been riding around the world, because he's got the great ride on Crown Pride later on in the Saudi Cup.
Elation there from another of the Japanese visitors, and very, very dapper he looks as well with the sort of dinner jacket and bow tie combination. Number one for Silver Sonic. He was supersonic there. The boy from Bunbury, Damian Lane. These young jockeys are exactly like footballers now. They are sought after the whole world, and they will go wherever the opportunities are. He was super confident, more than confident enough to place Silver Sonic closer to the pace than usual. It looked like a well-run race. Hard to be certain. 3:06.46. It is seven. Sonic.
It was faster last year.
7:03.65. Enemy runs a screamer for second. Get Shirty in third, number six, number five, big call. So it is Silver Sonic for Japan. Japan two on the card, Britain one on the card, and here is the drone shot, which gives us a clear idea of whether there were any hard luck stories. My feeling was that every horse had his chance here, had they been good enough. The one disappointment in the race was Trawlerman.
Yes.
He settled beautifully, he was perfectly positioned, and when the winner quickened, an enemy flashed by, he was gone very quickly.
Yes, maybe he's just not up to this level. He's coming off a little bit of a break, but the Gosdens would have gotten him fit. And he's just sort of tamely faded. Maybe he is a mile and a half horse. Maybe a mile and six. Maybe he's not meant to go over longer than this. I'm sure Connections will find something with them as Connections are checking him over on another screen. But I mean, this was a fantastic riding performance from Damien Lane. I was really surprised when I first looked after the first furlong or two. And you see the gray silver streak that was Silver Sonic sitting in third behind the consummate front runner, Subjectivist and Trollerman. I thought he'd be mid-pack or further back. And I think Damien Lane's decision from stall one to just go and sit up, as all the pace was from the outside, he got a perfect ride in. And it's made the difference.
Be amazed if that's the last we've seen of Silver Sonic and Whirlpool screens this year. He could easily go to Dubai. You wouldn't be shocked.
Almost certainly.
If he dropped back to a mile and a half, it wouldn't be a problem. The boy from Bunbury is ready to speak to Ollie Bell.
Yeah, the Aussie Damien Lane alongside me, Michelle, you was just saying you seem to have a job on your hands settling him today. Was that how it felt underneath you?
He was on and off. He had a little bit of tightening from the outside, which he didn't really appreciate. So he got in the chewy a couple of times, which is not unusual for him. But he still was able to finish off strong.
And given his form over 3.6, when he kicked clear, there was no doubts about him getting home.
Yeah, and he's got a good turn of foot for a stay. So I knew if I got the run, he was going to be really competitive. I was just sweating on it there for a couple hundred metres.
Just finally, more generally, we've seen Japan have such tremendous success globally in recent years. How important is it for that to continue on the stage we're at today?
Oh, very important. I mean, I love their racing. Their horses are top quality, and they now are showing that to the world, and it's just a privilege to be a part of that.
Might not be done yet. You're in the Saudi Cup. Best of luck, Damien. Well done here.
Thank you.
Shaddai Racehorse Company Limited. You get the impression that, you know, club ownership, syndicate ownership in Japan, it's been a big thing for years, and it has to be.
Welcome back. It was 7-3. I think it was 6-5, but hold your tickets. That show photo was very close. 7-3, 6-5, I think. But Betting Public got it right, Silver Sonic. I liked Enemy. Enemy was right there within the last furlong and just didn't have quite the momentum to get up to the winner there, Silver Sonic. But there was the Red Sea Turf, as I say, 7-3, and I believe it was 6-5, but hold your tickets in those bottom two positions. I mentioned it earlier, Luis Saez won yesterday's Saudi International Jockeys Challenge. There were seven male international male riders, seven females. Luis Saez took the competition, outpaced Yuga Kawada. Third place was a female jockey from the UK, Joanna Mason, grabbed third place there. But Luis Saez took the International Jockey Challenge over there in Saudi Arabia yesterday. All right, let me touch on a couple other things before we call Nancy. We're gonna have Nancy Holthus on in just a few to take a look at the really nice Oaklawn card. We've gotten some thoughts on Saudi from Dick Powell, the upcoming race in Saudi Arabia. Race number six is that Saudi Derby, and we do have the American having a meltdown from Bob Baffert coming out of the win in the San Vicente. 4-for-5 so far for having a meltdown. The lone non-win was a second-place finish in the Del Mar Futurity behind Cave Rock. So going to be interesting to see what the Baffert horse can do. My Map, I like that one. Dick Powell liked that one. Going to be interested to see what number 13 My Map can do in this upcoming Saudi Derby. Let me remind you that there are free past performances. I mentioned it when we were talking to Dick. If you haven't yet printed up past performances, you can go to the Daily Racing Forum website, and right there on the front page, one of the article titles is free past performances for the Saudi Cup. And when you do that, not only do you get free past performances, but as I noted, they are listing theirs in post position order, not numerical order, because don't forget, international races, the saddle cloth number does not necessarily correspond to the post position. So I like what the DRF did with their past performances. But you can get free past performances at the Daily Racing Forum for these last three races over in Saudi Arabia. Let me remind you, too, that we are currently open. Normally, we would open shortly anyway at 11, but we have been open since 9 o'clock here at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you would like to swing down and join us here to watch, again, the remainder of the Saudi Cup races, and then hang around for the afternoon as well. Grab a little lunch at Fredella's and have some fun. Marty McGee had an article in the Daily Racing Forum, I believe it was yesterday, kind of looking, and I think we'll know today, if I'm not mistaken, they said next week's Fountain of Youth is going to be drawn today, and we'll know the entries today. But from the Marty McGee article, which said, here are the likelies, it sounds like the Fountain of Youth coming up next week at Gulfstream is going to be very intriguing, and primarily with one name. Forte is scheduled to make his three-year-old debut. Forte, who, of course, we saw up at Saratoga win the Hopeful, subsequently went on to win the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and was named the two-year-old champion for Todd Pletcher and Mike Rapoli. A couple guests we had on the show up in Saratoga this year as well. Forte coming back. But Blazing Sevens for Chad Brown, who won the Champagne, potentially in there as well. Rocket Can coming out of a win, potentially in the Holy Bull. We'll see. That's a pretty quick turnaround, but that horse was mentioned in the article as well. Maj, the maiden breaker in debut in the interesting race. There were some horses in there that seemed to have potential that didn't show up that day, though. But Maj was mentioned in the article as well. Intriguing if that one tries the Fountain of Youth off the debut maiden breaker. Cyclone Mischief, the horse that two starts back tossed in the huge number, the huge buyer number, and then the Holy Bull kind of tossed in a clunker. And again, that's a kind of a quick turnaround. You know, not out of the question, but we shall see. General Jim coming in out of a win in the Swale, potentially. And again, you can check out that Marty McGee article talking about potentially who will show up next weekend. And as I say, we should know, you know, today, I would think. We will see how that all works out, but one way or the other, we will have past performances and be able to dig in and enjoy a nice day of action down at Gulfstream next week on the three-year-old scene with the Fountain of Youth. But today, it's Oaklawn Park and the Rebel. We will check in with Nancy Holthus right after this break to get her thoughts on the Rebel. A couple other stakes races at Oaklawn this afternoon and more. So stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku.
The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Nancy Holthus. You see her down there pre-game and paddock commentary at Oak Lawn throughout the meet. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Happy to have you. Always happy to have you on to talk a little Oak Lawn, because I say it all the time. I really like the Oak Lawn racing, particularly on big days like this. First of all, we were watching some Oak Lawn when I was in here doing the afternoon show yesterday, and the weather was a little dicey. What do we look like today weather-wise?
Well, continue that trend, Seth.
All right.
It's pretty chilly out, but I don't think we're going to get any more rain today, which is good. But the track is going to, I feel confident in saying that it will stay sloppy.
Okay. All right. So we'll work.
It's raining now. My local meteorologist says it's raining now.
Oh, okay. So we'll work from that. That's the way the sport goes. Before I get into some of the action today, though, I wanted to tout, you do the nice morning program there, and on my monitor up in the studio here, as I've been doing the morning shows, I saw you had the morning program. Lisa Lazarus from HISA, I had her on up at Saratoga when she was fairly brand new to the job. I'm wondering what was your interview like, and God bless her. She's doing a great job in a tough position, and I see both sides of the argument as it floats around, but what was that interview like this morning?
You know what? It was really good, and I love the fact that she's very open.
Yeah.
You know, Oak Lawn is one of the Arkansas is one of the HBPAs that is involved in the lawsuit in the Fifth Circuit Courts that did find it unconstitutional. But, you know, we did open our arms to welcome her. But she's very transparent in what HISA is, what it's about, what's going on in regards to the court case. But she is an attorney, but doesn't act as HISA's attorney. She is the CEO. But we did open up after the interview portion to a Q&A. And, you know, was very receptive to everyone's questions. So you really do have to respect the position that she's in, because, you know, and I jokingly said to her at the end of the interview, there's no way you had to realize how under the microscope you were going to be. So I really did appreciate her time, how transparent she was. So it can't be a fun position that she's in.
No, I agree totally with your take, because I had her on up at Saratoga. She was relatively new, and I found her to be very open. In subsequent interviews, I've heard the same, and I think she's willing to work with all the participants. And I find it interesting she showed up at Oak Lawn today. Good for her, as you say, with Arkansas being where they are. And again, I can see both sides of the debate here. And we'll see how it plays out, but I found it interesting that you had her on this morning. So great to hear that she, again, kind of impressed with the transparency. One other thing I wanted to touch on before today, I had to go back to last Sunday. We have a shot from the winner's circle with just the group, and then a shot of you in the post-race interview. Steve Asmussen, in just a wild coincidence of when he hit the milestone up at Saratoga a couple of years ago, he has horses going at so many different tracks. It's amazing that he had the horse win to get that top trainer milestone a couple summers ago up at Saratoga when he was there. And he'd been chasing 10,000 career victories for a while, and he manages to get it at Arkansas. because he was there, so good for him. But in a wild coincidence as well, it was also Ricardo Santana's 700th career victory at Oaklawn. Just kind of wild. Talk a little bit about it. And as they say, we also have a shot of you doing the post-race interview. Talk about the buzz in the building for that 10,000th career win.
Well, it was so funny. Well, not funny, ha-ha, but he sat on 9,999, what seemed like forever. So every race across the country, and I'm not joking, Seth, there was an 11-person text chain that every race he was in, 4 minutes to post, loading in the gate, oh, he was fourth. So it was a constant, your phone just never stopped. So there were a lot of people happy that he finally got that 10,000th win. So, but it was, you know, at first he said, you know, he wanted to do it at Sam Houston so his parents could be there. Then, you know, he wanted to do it with Keith and the Irons. Yeah. But, you know, he's had a lot of milestones also with Ricardo. And for Ricardo to also have that milestone, and Julie, his fabulous wife, when she saw that Ricardo had that milestone as well, she was ecstatic. So it really was a family affair. All of his kids were here. So Steve was, you know, actually a little emotional himself. So it was a really good day. And it was very cool that he did it here at Oaklawn, because he set several milestones at Oaklawn as well.
Yeah, I was saying, I was in doing the afternoon programming and that whole lead up, and every day it kind of reiterate the number, and I'd say it'd be really fun if he got it at Oaklawn because he's there, and so yes. It'd be fun. And also, you know, kudos to you and the team. You got to use your poster. Everybody else had to yes. throw theirs. I always think that poster.
We've had so many milestones, and I think there's like 12 of those cardboard posters in the paddock office from milestones from all the way back to last year. So I think we could paint the front of the building with those things.
And as I say, you talk about stars aligning. And again, I'm sure he would have loved to have done it with his son in the saddle. But Ricardo has been his main guy for so long. And for him to also have the milestone on the same race, the stars were really kind of aligned. It was fun to see last weekend. All right, let's get to today. Let's kind of work our way back from the big race, the 11th today at Oaklawn. Our time, it's going to go off at about 6:23, your time locally, 5:23, $1 million, you gotta love that, $1 million up for grabs, grade two, mile and a 16th. I'm gonna pull up a replay. I'm gonna take a shot in this race with Gun Pilot, and I'm gonna go back to the February 4th allowance optional claimer. Gun Pilot's gonna be the number two here. I think this could be an up-and-comer for the aforementioned Steve Asmussen, but clearly the horse to beat is going to be Verifying off the big 97 buyer win back on January 14th. Red Route 1, I think, is very intriguing in here as well. Your thoughts on the Rebel?
Well, it's interesting because Brad Cox has two chances in here, still looking for his very first or second Arkansas Derby win. Really good, kind of an interesting race. I saw a horse that you haven't mentioned yet by the name of Reincarnate, now racing under Tim Yakteen. I saw this horse on the track the other day, Seth, and he literally took my breath away, as he looks like he has been training at the Venice Beach Gold's Gym, because he looks like a little bulldog, because he is just a specimen. Then saw him school in the infield, which we won't be in, unfortunately, because of the amount of rain, but he is just spectacular. So very excited to see him run in person. But I almost have to, you know, he's shipping, he's running out of California for the first time. You almost have to, these horses are a different level, I like to think, but horses that do have a start here, I almost have to give a little bit of a nod to. A lot of horses are also running over the slot for the first time today. I looked at the charts last night again. The track played extremely fair yesterday. A lot of times in the slot, it can be speed favoring, but the track played very, very, very fair. So it's kind of a very interesting setup. A lot of horses making their stakes debut, some testing winners for the first time. But I was so impressed with a horse that you mentioned in Red Route 1, as, you know, he did take on Arabian Night last time. But when he came from so far out of it last time to run second, and it was over the slop, you got to think people are really going to be giving that particular three-year-old a much closer look than its 10-to-1 odds.
Yeah, I agree. That was a big performance. Maybe I should have pulled up that replay because he came from way out of it. That was a nice second there. And as you note, on the sloppy track. And yeah, Reincarnate, you mentioned Tim Yachtin, but it was originally a Baffert horse. And we know how well Baffert horses have done coming to Oaklawn over the years. And the situation here is they're chasing Derby points. So that's why the trainer switch. I'm intrigued to see what Reincarnate can do. What do you make of Verifying?
Verifying was extremely impressive in that first level allowance win. Got a blazing buyer of 97 and actually finished in front of Gunpilot, the horse that is actually testing today's different distance for the first time, making that stakes debut. I love the fact that Ricardo is in the irons. You almost have to think that Ricardo had his pick, and Ricardo piloted Red Route 1 last time out to that really impressive second in the Southwest. So it almost makes me think that Gunpilot is the better of the two. So kind of a head scratcher there for me because I was so impressed with Red Route 1.
Yeah, as I say, I'm going to take a little pop with Gunpilot. I find that one interesting. Hope the morning line holds up there. All right, that's the three-year-old boys on the way to the Derbies, the Arkansas Derby perhaps the Kentucky Derby, but one race earlier, the three-year-old girls on their way potentially to Oaks competition later in the year. I'm going to pull up a replay for this Honeybee, Grade 3 event, $300,000. Again, the three-year-old fillies. I'm going to pull up a replay from the Martha Washington. The number one here will be Wet Paint. I think this win is going to attract a lot of attention for Wet Paint. But I, once again, am going for a lightly raced Asmussen runner. I'm going to put Grand Love on top and hope this one, having only three starts as a two-year-old, comes back. And I always say sometimes they come back from a break and they're even a little bit better. I'm going to put Grand Love on top. I think Toehead is interesting, Defining Purpose for Ken McPeak. As I say, we're watching the stretch run here of the Martha Washington. Wet Paint off of that victory is going to take a lot of action. What are your thoughts on the Honeybee?
Well, Grand Love, you know, certainly does get some respect, as, you know, she did face Grade 3 runners, a really good third. Not only your first time facing winners, but going from that 6.5 maiden win in the debut to going two turns, first time taking on winners. So got to give respect for her. She is still looking for that first win around two turns. Joel Rosario rode her in the Pocahontas. But I tell you what, I've been super impressed with Wet Paint. She already has 20 points towards the starting gate in the Kentucky Oaks. I love the fact that she did break her maiden in the over the slop in Indiana, going a mile. And we all know that Brad Cox does not care where horses break their maiden. It's how they do it. We saw Monomoy Girl. I'm not comparing her to Monomoy Girl, but that is where she broke her maiden in Indiana. I like the fact that she did get her stakes win in the Martha Washington, which was here at 1 16. She also has a very nice bullet work on February 19th, 5 furlongs in 59-4. It was actually at Brad Cox's barn on Thursday and fell in love with this filly. She's so personable. She then schooled in the infield, and she's so much bigger. You know, horses are always bigger when they get out of the stall. And I can't count as high as many dapples as she has. Just super impressed by her. So impressed by her on the track and out of the stall. So really looking forward to seeing her again. So Flavian Pratt back in the irons. He knows her well. She's got off-track form. I got to go with Wet Paint.
Yeah, and that last workout kind of touts she's holding her form. I get it. And as I say, I think the betting public tilts in that direction. I was going a little bit differently, and I'm going to go a little bit differently earlier on the other stake on the card, the Carousel. I'm going to pull up a replay here, going back to the fairgrounds on New Year's Day. The 1A is Mercy Warren, And I thought off of this, it's an aberrational kind of a victory. The number jumped up, but I think the number is believable given the winning margin of 16 lengths. So I thought Cherie DeVoe bringing in Mercy Warren, John Velasquez will be in town for the ride there. I'm going to tilt in that direction, but Yaguri Girl is interesting. Pretty Birdie has the connections to up here, and Mary Lou Whitney, the Norm Cassie trainee, also kind of playable. But what are your thoughts on the carousel?
Well, the carousel to me is just stacked full of talent.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the former fantasy winner. You've got Pretty Birdie in there, who is a graded stakes winner. But I am going to go with Pretty Birdie. Yugiri does come off a very, very impressive allowance win, win shortening up. That was also her first time taking on older runners. Pretty Birdie just scored her first stakes win against older runners. But Pretty Birdie is just a master sprinter. So I am going to give a slight nod towards the Cassie runner. Norm Cassie, I tell you what, 53% for the meet. That's got to be some type of record. David Cabrera in the irons as he was last out. So just super impressed with how she is handling this surface. And she's 2 for 3 here at Oaklawn. There's so much speed in here. It's going to be a very good setup. I kind of wavered back and forth, I got to be honest, and I initially questioned, you know, why aren't they going to run Yugiri, maybe the Azari, maybe, you know, the Apple Blossom, but I'm not going to question a guy like Rudy Burset. I'd be a moron if I did, but I just got to give that slight nod to Pretty Birdie.
And I have to admit, I was a little bit asleep at the switch. I've been touting as I've been doing the afternoon handicapping show, saying how good Chris Hartman has been down there. I hadn't realized Norm Cassie is better than a coin flip. That you talking about?
Oh my gosh,
red
is that
hot.
Not crazy?
Oof, yikes. And easy to root for Norm and Gabby, and now that he's gone off on his own, good for him.
Yes.
Speaking of trainers, before I let you go, I have to talk about one more thing from last week, because again, doing the afternoon handicapping show, I was in here for the victory and saw the post-race interview out in the infield. But how about last week, the coach and Last Samurai, who has a little bit of a horse for a course angle down there at Oaklawn, but Dwayne Lucas wins the Razorback last weekend with Last Samurai, and that was a fun interview to participate in. I'm sure I could see that through the screen.
Yeah, I loved my opening line was, not many people use the Pegasus World Cup as a prep for the Razorback, so... it's always a good day when I get to interview Wayne Lucas. So, I mean, there's nothing like a living legend, and we are truly just blessed to be in that man's presence, and I cannot stress that enough.
As I say, it was fun to see. I have been asking him at Saratoga for years and couldn't get him over to do an interview, and then my friend Tim Wilkin, he kind of cajoled him to come over this past summer. So I sat down with him for 20 minutes or so. And it's a lot of fun to be able to pick the brain of somebody like that and chat for a while. But it was fun to see that victory last weekend down at Oaklawn. Nancy, appreciate the visit as always. Good luck to you and everybody down at Oaklawn this afternoon. Have some fun. And certainly we will talk again before the meet ends.
Thanks so much. Have a good day, Seth.
Appreciate it. Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn. Again, you see her on the pregame show in the paddock for the paddock commentary, and that will continue this afternoon with a really nice card highlighted by that Rebel. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. We're about 5 minutes away from the next race at Saudi Arabia, which is that Saudi Derby. Again, Bob Baffert has the number 12. Baffert's horse is the favorite, having a meltdown. Again, 4 for 5 so far, with the only loss being a second-place finish in the Del Mar Futurity to Cave Rock, comes off a win in the San Vicente. Dick Powell and I both were kind of intrigued by Dick had the horse on top, and I said, I'm going to play around a little bit as well with number 13, My Map, undefeated so far in 4 starts, and you're getting a generous 10-1 there. So a fun edition of the Saudi Derby coming up. Subsequently, race number 6 coming up. Race number 7 is going to be the Dirt Sprint. And again, Elite Power goes out for Bill Mott off a win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint last November. Gunite coming out of the win at Oaklawn in the King Cotton for Steve Asmus. And I think Gunite, very intriguing in here. Dancing Prince was the winner of this race last year. So that upcoming 7th has some American intrigue. And then about 12:30-ish, a little past that, our time, race 8 from Saudi Arabia will be the Saudi Cup. $20 million. Country Grammar's in there for Bob Baffert, the number 2 horse. Number 10, Taba, also for Bob Baffert, in the mix as well. So it should be a lot of fun. And again, I'll tout you, you can go to the Racing Forum. They have free pass performances for this entire Saudi card, so you can pick those up if you haven't already for these remaining 3 races. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America. As I said this morning, it's a little bit more racing around the globe, as we had Dick Powell on to talk some Saudi Cup card action also. Been a lot of fun this morning, handicapper support and this program, talking some racing for this afternoon, but also plugging in this Saudi Cup card action this morning. Hopefully you've been playing and cashing some tickets. I will return in, as usual, about an hour or so. It depends on when the Naira pregame show goes. I'll either jump in a little before them or I'll wait until they're done. But we'll look at some Gulfstream and some Aqueduct today. And again, I've handicapped that Oaklawn card. So should be a lot of fun on this Saturday afternoon. You can tune back in for that in just a little bit. Otherwise, I am going to wrap it up for a Saturday morning. Again, Seth Merrill in the studio. As always, really appreciate your tuning in. Send it over to Saudi Arabia and the upcoming 6th race, the Saudi Derby, and invite you to tune back in a little bit later this afternoon for OTB Live. We'll see you then.
That Pinehurst used ahead
We'd
of
We'd like to thank
Gulfstream
Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.
You have to, a lot of the times, you rush up and lob it, use a lot of speed to get a position into.